Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I'm so glad I asked you on Facebook what you wanted to hear about organizing kids' apartments, or bedrooms, as most people call them. And there are three things that I haven't addressed, at least well enough, that you want to hear about organizing for kids' bedrooms. And those are collections, toys, and what about sharing a room? So those are the three things I'm going to cover in this podcast today. Now, it doesn't matter what size room you have or how many people are in the room. I want you to think about your bedroom. Again, I'm talking to kids directly here. Moms, you can listen in. But I'm just talking straight to you, the bedroom owner, the apartment owner, and you happen to have a roommate in your apartment. I'm using these words for a reason. Because as you get older, or moms, if you're listening to this, moms and dads, you're listening to this, and you're thinking about, you think much differently if I say kids' bedroom or if I say shared apartment. A shared apartment denotes that there is responsibility, that we have to have renter's insurance, and we have to pay for electric and cable and all of these things. Like, there's additional responsibilities and additional expenses that come with an apartment versus just a bedroom in your house. And while we aren't going to charge rent or anything, I want us to really start thinking about these bedroom units in our homes as mini apartments. They are the space that whoever sleeps in that room is responsible for. They're responsible for the cleaning of that space, the maintenance of that space, the organization of the space, and also how they choose to utilize the storage that is available in that room. Granted, there is very little storage available in a child's bedroom in most homes. But there is storage available. There is, well, you have to have a closet to have it be called a bedroom here in the United States. So there has to at least be a closet if it's truly a bedroom for resale purposes. I know, it might be a small closet, but it's a closet nonetheless. And it has a door to it. So a door and a closet, we know that all bedrooms have that. Not all bedrooms have windows, but they all have doors and they all have closets. We've already addressed clothes multiple times. So closets, we are going to pass over. A bed is a given. Now you might have a trundle bed, a bunk bed, two separate beds, but we know there is a bed in that room. If there is space underneath the bed, so it's not a trundle bed is when you have like a bed underneath a bed that pulls out. So it looks like there's a drawer underneath the bed, but when you pull the drawer out, there's actually a mattress there and somebody could sleep on that. Some of you may have three people in the room, and so that means you have a trundle bunk bed. I know, it exists. So we could have lots of people sleeping in vertical spaces. Now, vertical spaces are the best way to get more space into a small space, any small space, and a shared bedroom. So we're going to go up the walls. So if you can stack the beds, you're actually going to get more floor space. If not, no big deal. So let's say you don't stack the beds and you have two beds in the room. What about getting a headboard that has a little bit of a storage component to it? So I am shopping for my son's apartment, and I was at Walmart the other day, and they have a bed that has two drawers underneath, which I think is what we're going to get, so he can use those two drawers underneath the twin bed for his dresser, because he only needs room for socks, underwear, and workout shorts. That's the only things he puts in drawers. And then they also had available separately this like bookcase headboard. And I haven't looked at it close enough to see how it attaches to the wall or attaches to the bed frame. But I'm sure those of you who are handy could attach it to a wall with an L bracket. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, a little metal piece that looks like the letter L. You could screw it into the wall and screw it into the furniture, and then the furniture doesn't fall over. I'm sure you could get this headboard, and it was not expensive when I saw it at Walmart, and it went up over a twin bed, and it had in there like two shelves. So behind you, you could put your clock radio, you could put your glass of water, you could put the book that you're reading in bed, and sleep in the bed. Now, with this little, I don't know, headboard on this bed, I don't think you could lean against it and sit up in your bed and lean against it. So I think it would work best, and how I'm going to do it in Joey's apartment is, when he wants to sit up in bed and lean against the wall, he'll actually lean against the wall, the long wall that his bed is up against. So his bed is up against a wall in a corner. So the headboard would be at the front part, and then his whole bed will be against a wall also. So that's one way you can get space in a bed. If you bunk them, then you'll get more floor space. If you have separate beds, maybe you can find some kind of a headboard that has a little bit of storage that would give you a personal space. Now, if you get a headboard that has a little bit of storage like this, it will eliminate your need for a nightstand. And nightstands are nice to put a clock radio on, if anybody uses those anymore, a lamp, a glass of water, and your book. It's typically what you put on top of a nightstand. If you could get a headboard, which I'm going to go to Walmart. I'll take a picture. We'll put a picture of it in the post that goes with this podcast. If you eliminate the nightstand, then you have a little bit more floor space. Now, I'm clearing up your floor space for a reason. I'll get to that in a minute. The only thing that I would not put on a headboard that I would put on a nightstand is a lamp. Like, you're not going to want to sleep with a lamp on a nightstand on your bed. Like, that's not going to work. But you could do one of those clip-on dorm lamps. So when kids go to college and they share rooms, and those rooms are super tiny, anything that works in a dorm room is pretty much going to work in your bedroom apartment if you're sharing. So those clip-on lights, you literally, instead of a lamp that sits on its base and it sits on your nightstand, it can't stand up on its own. It has like this big claw at the bottom of it, a clamp, and you clamp that onto your nightstand or onto your headboard that I'm talking about, table, and then you would have a light, and you usually can move it a little bit. It's on like a bendy straw is what your lamp is on. Boy, I have unique words, don't I? And you can angle that light. So if you want to read in your bed, you can angle the light towards you and it wouldn't shine on your sibling that's in the room with you. Okay, so I think that that eliminates the nightstand and we move into a headboard type situation. Or if you've bunked the beds, then you could put a bookshelf next to the bed, a tall, skinny IKEA Kallax 1x5 bookshelf. Now, these 1x5 bookshelves will take up less space than a nightstand will because they are, I think, 18 by 18 inches. And then they go from floor pretty much up to the ceiling if you get the 1x5. Again, if you're in a child's bedroom, I would use an L bracket or something to attach this furniture to the wall once you figure out where you want it to be, especially if you've got a bunk bed where someone's on the top bunk bed. You wouldn't want them to hit that bookshelf and the bookshelf to fall down in the room. So just safety, make sure everything's safe. If you put that bookshelf against the wall, there are two ways you could do this. You could put it like a regular bookshelf, and I want you to picture what this looks like. Think about Legos. You know when you're looking for a Lego piece and you go, I need a 1x6 or a 2x5? If you guys know Legos, you know what I'm talking about. That's the number of dots you have on the top of a Lego. So a regular Lego brick, like every single person listening to this, when I say Lego, you are probably thinking about a 2x4. A 2x4 Lego brick has two rows of dots that are 4 long. So a 2x4 Lego brick. Now imagine a 1x5 of that, 1 dot, 5 high. That's what an IKEA bookshelf is like. This Kallax unit comes in multiple sizes. It comes in 2x2, 1x5, 2x4, and 4x4. It used to come in 5x5, but I don't think it comes in that size anymore. And yes, it is scary that I know the exact sizes that this bookshelf comes in. It is the number one recommendation I have for children's bedrooms is to buy IKEA Kallax shelving units, period. End of story. Take all of your money and do that first. They are awesome because they are big enough for a binder, a backpack, a large Tonka truck. Like the cubes in this bookshelf are big enough for everything you're going to want to organize in your child's bedroom from the time they are 2 years old until they are 22 years old. Like you will not outgrow this bookshelf. and the bookshelf will not deteriorate in any way, shape, or form. 20 years later, the bookshelf, it may be scratched up, but it will be fully functioning. It's very, very heavy duty, and it is not expensive. Now, if you don't have an IKEA near you, Target has a similar bookshelf. I can't remember what theirs is called. Better Homes and Gardens has come out with the same dimensional bookshelf. It is sold at Walmart. So if you have a Target, a Walmart, or an IKEA, you can find this size bookshelf I'm talking about. But Target and Walmart do not sell the 1x5. So the 1x5 is just, you know, it's only 18 inches wide. If you don't have that one and you can fit in the 2x4, I would get that. Okay, so next to the bunk bed, we have a 1x5. Now you have two choices. You can attach that to the wall so that the bookshelf is facing out. So then when you walk in the room, you could see what's on the bookshelf, which is how most people would do it. That is not how I would do it. How I would do it is I would turn it sideways and I would do it so that the shelves are facing the bunk bed. So if you are on the top bunk, you will be able to reach into two shelves in the bed. So it would be like you have a nightstand on the top shelf. And if you're on the bottom of the bunk bed, you also will be able to reach into two of the shelves. It's like you have a nightstand on the bottom of the bunk bed. And when you walk in the room, it will look like you're looking at a long piece of furniture with no drawers and no shelves. It'll just be a white or gray or black or whichever color you get piece of melamine or whatever it's made out of. It won't look like a bookshelf because the bookshelf part will be facing the bunk bed so that they can use it as a nightstand. Think about function, not how things look. We definitely want to go for function, not bookshelves are supposed to be against the wall so that we have it facing out so that when you walk into a room, you could see what is on the bookshelf. That does you no good if you're in the bunk bed. Now you're looking, the people in the bunk bed are looking at the solid side of the bookshelf. They can't put anything on there. So turn it sideways. Also, all of these cube units are passed through. They open front to back. There is no back. Like on a normal bookshelf, you would have a back to the bookshelf and you put the books on there. These IKEA units, the ones at Target and the ones at Walmart are all the same. They're cubbies and they go all the way through. So if you're going to do that, you would need to put a back on this unit somehow so that things wouldn't fly over to the other side if you're using it in the way I just told you to use it. All right, so that solves that. We have clothes solved. We have where we're sleeping solved. And we have our nightstand situation solved. I mean, those are the things you really do in a bedroom that everyone has to do in a bedroom. Once you have that solved, if you're sharing a room, you must pare down the amount of collections and toys and books that you keep. Either entirely, if you're in an apartment situation and there's no other place in the house to put the things, then you just can't have as many possessions as other people do, period. Or if you're in a different home situation where there are a lot of people living in the home, so the bedrooms are full, but there are other living spaces in the house where you're allowed to have storage or toys or books, then you can keep some items out of your bedroom and some items in your bedroom. Those decisions need to be made as a family, and the family has to decide how the space in the house is going to be allocated. There are three things that end up in every child's bedroom in varying amounts: books, toys, collections. Now, I did a Facebook Live. I do a Q&A on Tuesday morning currently is when I'm running it for the 100-Day Home Organization Program and for the Sunday Basket Club. And in the 100-Day Home Organization Program, I opened it up and I said, okay, next week I want all questions from your kids. Like, I'll do kid organizing questions. And I got a lot of great pictures because in that I have them submit questions, pictures so that I can give very accurate answers for every single room that we're actually organizing. It's not general information. It's very specific information that I give. And someone shared that they had a shared bedroom situation and they had a cube system. And in the cube system, there were 9 cubes and they were all full of books and they didn't have anywhere for toys or collections. And so my suggestion was to keep 2 cubes of books, one for each child can have a cube of books, and open up the other 7 cubes 4 toys and collections. Now you'll notice I said it's a 9 cube unit. That's a 3x3. That's not one of the sizes I gave you before. There used to be, these cube units used to be made by Closet Made. They were pretty much the only ones who made them, and then one other company started to copy, and they are 3x3 cube units. I do not like them at all for multiple reasons. Number one, they are much thinner than these new Colax and Target and Better Homes and Gardens units. They're not as sturdy as the ones that are being made on the market today. But more important than that, the cube inside is 9 by 9 inches. 9 by 9 or 11 by 11. I can't remember. Either way, it doesn't work. You cannot put a big, large picture book on those cubes. You cannot put a Tonka truck on those cubes. You cannot fit a backpack on those cubes. You cannot fit a binder on those cubes. So you have these cubes that take up space, but they don't really move with you as you move from one age of your life to the next. And whatever furniture you put in your bedroom, whatever bookshelf unit you get, I want you to get one that is going to last for a decade. Also, I'm not suggesting you get a regular bookshelf. A regular bookshelf is only like 9 or 11 inches deep, whereas these Colax units are, I think they're 14 inches deep. And so again, they're not deep enough for these really big picture books, binders, all of that. But also, bookshelves traditionally are usually 24 or 36 inches wide. And so when you put things on the bookshelf, they fall over. And it's, you pull one book out and they all fall down. Whereas when you use a cube unit, it's much easier to put books back, to put things back, because you have smaller and more defined areas. Okay, I'm really, really particular about these cube units because I know it is amazing. You may think it cannot be that big of a difference, Lisa. It is that big of a difference. It is that big of a difference. Don't buy something else and prioritize this and you will see what I'm talking about. Is that big of a difference. Okay, so I told them to take that 3x3 unit out of the room and to put either in a 2x4 or a 4x4. And I think in that space, there was going to be room for a 4x4. If you have room in a shared space for a 4x4, that's great. But if you have a room for two 2x8s, that's even better, because then if you do end up separating bedrooms or you want to be able to separate those bookshelves out, you can. A 4x4 unit is awesome, but you don't get as much flexibility as if you got the smaller pieces, and I'm telling you, you're going to keep these forever, so get the smaller pieces. They can be attached together with those L brackets. All right, so a 2x8 unit can be used with the two brick being on the floor and having it go up the wall 4 high, or you could turn it sideways as you get older and have it be 4 running along the floor with 4 on top of that, and then on top of that you could put like a TV, or in my daughter's case, a hamster cage. And when I say hamster cage, I mean she took a glass like 5 foot high vanity thing that was supposed to store her jewelry and her makeup, turned it on the side on top of these two 1x5 units. And her hamster literally has a 5 foot long cage. I will also put this picture in the show notes. He has like a mansion. He has a hamster mansion and she loves it. In your cube units, I think that it is appropriate to put one of those units for books, and then the rest of the book collection can be stored somewhere else in the house where everybody else's books are. And then look at the larger collection of books like a library. So let's say you homeschool and you have like a whole room full of books, and your child's really into Harry Potter, or your child's really into Dr. Seuss, or your child's really into what was that one with the little cheese on the front that my kids loved? Anyway, whatever they're into. The books that they're really into should be in their bedroom, and they're reading and they're going through them over and over again. The other books should be wherever everybody else in the family keeps their books. And I know books is a really big hot button, but we tend to put all children's books in their bedroom because it seems like that's a good place to put books. And then there's not enough room for their toys and collections. I finally noticed this with my kids. I was a preschool teacher, so you can imagine how many picture books we had, like all of them. We had all of the picture books. And they were overflowing in their rooms, and my kids are not readers. They never were readers. They like to look at the pictures here and there, but They like to play. And so when I moved all the books into the loft and moved their toys into their bedrooms, they were much happier. So yes, I think you need books in your bedroom. I don't think you need every book that you own for your age and younger in your bedroom. So one cube for books. That opens up a lot of cubes. Just that right there, not keeping all of your books in your bedroom, is going to open up a lot more space for the things that you're really into, which are toys and collections. Toys. Oh, toys. Yeah, I haven't covered this one on a podcast because it is, it is a big one. It's a big one. I would say how I handle toys with my kids is they had one big passion project toys. Joey's was Legos. Abby's was baby dolls for a while. And then Abby's became school. And then Abby's became pets. Like stuffed animals and everything related to pets. Abby's changed. Joey stayed. Legos the entire time. Joey was allowed to keep all of the Legos in his bedroom and they overflowed into our loft. Abby kept all of her baby stuff in her room. But that's all that would fit because she had so much baby stuff because she loved it so much. And then right now it's animals. So you would not believe how much stuff this hamster Max has. Like, you know, I told you the IKEA units. He has a 1x5 of just stuff for him. Like, he has toys and treats and bedding. And it's incredible how much stuff Max has. But Max is Abby's baby. And that is her big passion project right now. So it takes up 5 cubes. Your passion project is probably going to take up at least 4 cubes. Okay, so whatever the big thing that you're into. Then you'll have a secondary passion project. Like I would say right now my kids are teenagers, so Abby's is makeup. The other thing she has an equal amount of is makeup. Joey is a minimalist now. His is all electronic, so everything is really small but really expensive. When he was younger, his second passion project was matchbox cars and those plastic tracks you can put together for any kind of drivable car. And we had all of the tracks. So the tracks would be in our toy room or wherever that was because to set them up wouldn't even fit in the bedroom. But the cars stayed in Joey's room. Same with Abby. Like if there was like a big, you know, like when she was doing her baby dolls, all of her baby doll furniture was in her bedroom. But when she would get tired of that, we would move all of the baby doll furniture into our storage room. And then she would have like all of the Polly Pockets and Barbies or whatever of that in her bedroom. So that is an option too. If you have space in your family has space, whatever you're into, it's summer when I'm recording this. Maybe you're really into, I don't know, whatever. You're really into whatever you're this summer, horses. And you have them all in your bedroom. But when school starts, you know you're not going to be able to play it the way you normally do. And you move up, pack all that up and put it in the storage room and you get out something that you like to play during the school year, which is maybe smaller, like My Little Pony. I know that's not it, but you know what I mean. Something smaller so that you have room for your school stuff in your bedroom. Okay, so those are toys. Toys are different from collections because toys involve, like, if you said to someone, I want more baby doll stuff, they could go to the store and buy you a gift, right? Or if you said, I want more Legos, I want more matchbox cars, I want more whatever. People can go to the store and buy you something to go with your toys because they understand, okay, you have a, I was going to say Nintendo. Does Nintendo still exist? I don't know. I think it does. I think it's GameCube that went away. Anyway, whatever game system you have, you could tell people and they could go buy you a new game for your game system. Collections are different. So let's go back to our 1x8 cube unit, which I think is about the right amount of cubes for kids. If you could find a way to get your kids 8 cubes in their room, that is fantastic. If less, then we're just going to have to deal with less. That just is what it is and move on. So one for books, and then I would say you're going to have in an 8-cube unit, 1 for books, 6 for toys, and 1 for your collections. What, Lisa, is a collection? A collection is a very personal, private thing, and only you understand why it is special, which is why it's really special to you and really annoying to everybody else who thinks you should get rid of it. So I have organized many, many, many kids, and I actually love organizing kids' bedrooms. It's one of my favorite things to do because you could see the personality of a child in the things that they collect and where they want to display things. Adults listening, you need to understand, you have your entire house to organize and decorate, and you bought the furniture and you got to make a lot of decisions. And then kids like to display what they like to display for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know, that shell was really pretty, or I picked that rock up because it sparkled or whatever. You don't understand it because it doesn't match your decorating, but it does match theirs. So we are going to give them their space. However, children, I'm just going to say, yes, it's your apartment and yes, you have it, but you must be able to walk in it and clean it. You can't put like little rock collections all over the floor and all over everywhere and then say everything is precious if you're not going to take care of it. So here's my rule for collections. Number one, all of your collection, all of your super special stuff that you're going to keep has to fit in one cube. That's a big cube because I used to say it had to fit in a shoebox, which is really small. And a cube, if you get the IKEA one or the Better Homes and Gardens one, is big. It's like a 14 by 14 by 14 cube. It's big. And you can get a bin for that. And you can fill that bin all the way to the top with all of your super special collections. But here's the deal. When there's no more room in the bin, you need to donate some of it or trash it. It's okay. It was special to you for whatever reason. When I organize kids' bedrooms, we do clothes, and then we do their bed, and then we do their toys, and we do their bookshelf, and we end up in the middle of the room with this pile of collection stuff. And I want you to get it all in one big giant pile. The problem is you see the rocks over on your nightstand. Those are precious. And then you see something on top of the bookshelf, and then you see something somewhere else, and you're looking at all your collections in different spots in your rooms, and you like them. I'm going to make you put them all in one big pile. When it is all in one big pile, I want you then to prioritize the collections that you still love versus the ones that were fun to collect when you first got them. Not all of this is necessary to keep. But you can keep whatever you want that fits in the one bin. So you get one bin and you can fit whatever you want in it. And here's what I noticed with all the kids I organize their bedrooms and my own kids. You like this stuff, but you don't play with it. Because it's not stuff you're going to play with. It's more like a memory box. And every time you look at everything in there, it brings back memories. It's kind of like a scrapbook. Or looking through photographs. But for you, it's like three-dimensional holding in your hand memories. And you remember where you got this bottle cap and where you picked up this shell and where you got this rock and the friend you were playing with when you got this little stuffed animal. And all of this stuff that appears to everyone else to be junk is really, really important to you because of the memories. So as you go through your pile, not every single time you clean your room, but I would say every 3 or 4 times a year, you need to dump out this entire collection on the floor, touch every single piece, have every single memory, remember every single thing and why you collected it and how it was so much fun and how it reminds you of that special person. And just give yourself like an hour to do that. And then when the time is up, and you start to put everything back in your bin, I want you to ask yourself, do I want to have this memory again in 4 months, or have I had the memory enough and it's time to let the thing go? So if you, like my kids' best friend used to live across the street from when they were growing up and he moved away. And I know they both have things in their bedroom that seem inconsequential to me. But when they see that item, they think about John. And they literally, he was almost like a sibling. He was over here all the time. They were over there all the time. They really loved him. And he moved really far away. So they never see him anymore. And so while I think this little stuffed animal can go, because, you know, we're like going off to college, it can't go because it reminds us of John. And that's okay. You can keep that little stuffed animal until you get married and your wife says someday that you can't have it anymore, or your husband. Or you could just keep it forever. I know an adult that has a lot of stuffed animals still. So you can keep it. But then you may pick up another thing that's like a rock And it was really cool because you saw it on the way home from school one day and it sparkled, but that was like 3 years ago and now it's just kind of a rock. We can let that go now. And then you might run across, oh, this was my medal that I got in swimming and that was really cool that I did swimming. I'm going to keep the medal. And then you run across your bouncy ball collection. Who has a bouncy ball collection? Raise your hand. Yes, I know. We all get those. Are you still into bouncy balls? Do you have to have all the bouncy balls? Do you ever bounce a ball? Like, nobody ever bounces a ball. Maybe you're done with bouncy balls altogether. You can get rid of all of the bouncy balls. Do you see what I'm saying? You're going to go through every single thing, pull them all together. And when you have it all together in one bin and on one floor, then you could see, wow, I have a lot of little stuff. Which are the most important special ones that you still want to keep and which ones aren't? Okay, so you're going to fill your basket back up. And it goes on the cube. You're allowed one basket on the cube. That's it. If you have more super specialty stuff than that, then you have to pare down. I'm sorry, you live in an apartment. You don't live in a mansion. Also, with your super special collection, you need to have an area where you can display the things you want to display right now. Maybe that's on your desk, maybe that's on your nightstand. What I would suggest is to put up a shelf in your room. And it could be a ledge. They have these really cool ledges now. They aren't true shelves. Like growing up, they were like these big shelves that went on your wall. But now they have these little ledges that you could just hang up with like a nail. Again, you could find them Walmart, Target, IKEA. They all have them everywhere. They're just these ledges. They're only like 3 inches deep. And you could get them like only 18 inches long, all the way to like 5 feet long. Like they make them all different sizes. And they're not expensive. So, like $10, maybe up to maybe $35 at the most. And this can be your collection shelf, your collection ledge. If you have three kids sharing a room, you just stack them one on top of each other on the wall, and those are the ledges, and everybody gets one. Out of your collection bin, you get to pick out what you want to display on that ledge until the next time you do this and you dump everything out and you switch out what's on your ledge. But you cannot have your collection on every single flat surface in the entire room because then it's impossible to clean all of those flat surfaces. So you need a collection ledge. Okay, so we are at the end of this podcast. And I think this is great ideas for anybody who's sharing rooms or not sharing rooms. If you are sharing rooms, figure out how to get yourself a nightstand that is not taking up a lot of floor space and put it with your bed. So that will give you your everyday items and your lighting. Figure out which size cube unit that you can get that fits in the room that you have and for the amount of siblings that you have if you're sharing. And then however many cubes you get, if you only get a 1x5, one for books, one for collections, three for toys. If you get a 4x4, one or two for books, one for collections. You don't get more for collections, sorry. And then however many for toys. That's how much you have. I got my kids both the 4x4, and we have gotten rid of it out of both of their bedrooms. Abby now has 2 1x5s, and Joey has a 2x2, and we'll be getting him a 2x4 when we move into his new apartment. So I no longer suggest getting a 4x4 for a bedroom. It's too big of a piece of furniture to move around. I suggest the 2x4 or 2 1x5s. Especially for girls, 2 1x5s can be really fun. In Abby's room, we have split them up so that she has them on either side of her window as bookshelves. We've had them flat on the ground underneath one of them underneath the window, and it became a window seat, and she would sit on it, just one, not stacked. We have them stacked now with Max on top of it. So there are a lot of different things that you can do when you have the 1x5s. Really tend to work well for girls. And for boys, the 2x4 tends to work really well, either vertical or horizontal as well. Joey's was vertical for a long time, and now he has in his apartment, he'll have it horizontal with his TV on top of it. And right now he has a 2x2 in his unit in his bedroom with the TV on top of it. All right, guys, remember. Bookshelves, one bin only for collections, and get yourself a collection ledge. Yourself a collection ledge.